Also looking forward to the conversation we're about to have with friend of the show, regular guest, lawyer extraordinaire, our legal expert, Jeffrey O'Brien. Good morning, sir.
Morning, guys.
Thanks for taking some time and joining us today. Yesterday, we found out that Governor Dayton is a loser.
We didn't find that out just yesterday.
Well, yeah, it was further confirmation.
Further confirmation.
The judge ruled in the legislative lawsuit yesterday, sided with the legislature, ruled the line item veto of the funding for the legislature unconstitutional, saying it violated the separation of powers. You've had an opportunity to sort of review the ruling, review the decision. What was the rationale behind the judge reaching this conclusion?
Well, Drew, the Judge Gutman, he addressed a lot of different arguments in the opinion. It's a very well-written opinion. Anybody that's listening that wants to take a look at it, it is online. It's about 22 pages, and it's very well-written. You know, for Governor Dayton, when the judge starts out the memorandum part of the order, quoting the Federalists about if men were angels, no government would be necessary, you know it's not going to go well for you. And he does that. And he addresses everything, talks about the checks and balances and the separation of powers between the executive and the legislative branch. And, you know, this is what we've talked about previously. This was all, you know, the governor said he had reread his the Constitution, and what he did was constitutional. And the judge brings that up. Says, yes, in a vacuum, his use of the line item veto was constitutional. But when you read it in conjunction with the separation of powers clause, that's also in the Constitution, it went too far. And that's really the crux of his entire opinion, is that the line item veto is to be used for vetoing items of spending. Traditionally, it's been pork barrel spending that it gets tacked onto an appropriations bill, where the governor has the right, in the interest of the taxpayer, to line out those items of funding. But in this case, the governor used the line item veto because he had issues with policy provisions. And that was even said as much in his veto message back to the legislature. Mm-hmm. And the court said, that is not a constitutional use of the line item veto.
Right. Yeah. The crux of it is the rationale behind each specific line item veto. So this decision doesn't invalidate line item veto. It doesn't take away that tool from the governor or future governors, but you have to use it in respect to an objection to the specific item you're vetoing. I'm right. Line item vetoing this appropriation because I think it is too much, or I think it is too little, or I think it is inappropriate, or I don't, you know, you have to have a reason that's associated with that specific line of spending. You can't line item veto spending X because you disagree with policy Y and try to use that as leverage to get the legislature to negotiate with you on policy Y.
That's right. That's right. The court addresses that issue as well, Drew. He talks that the judge mentioned, you know, the veto message and saying, you know, because this was at the end of the session, there was no ability to, you know, the governor would have to call the special session for them to come back and override his veto. And the way he did it, the legislature didn't have an opportunity to do that. And then he was kind of holding them hostage by saying, I'll call the special session if you agree to give me this, 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 and this. That's not an appropriate use of line item veto. Remember, part of this is, he does discuss this in the opinion, when a governor vetoes a bill, he has to transmit it back to the legislature with a memo as to why the reasons for his veto.
Right.
And so this is, but that's why this message, that the letter that he sent back, where he talked about all this, about trying to, you know, his disagreement with the provisions that were in bills that he had already signed and trying to force the legislature's hand to come back and renegotiate. That's why this was pertinent here, is because by law, the governor has to send a veto message back to the legislature, which is why those comments he made in that letter were fair game.
Is there any expectation at all that this appeal is going to result in anything different than what happened yesterday?
I don't think so, John. I think part of it, you know, the judge's memorandum, opinion, and order was 22 pages long and very well reasoned and addressed every possible argument that was made. And I think that the judge is what wrote that opinion. I've never been in front of Judge Gutman. I have friends who know him, and I have every reason to believe that he is a stellar judge. And I think he knew going in, as he's writing this opinion, that this is likely, that the, if the governor was likely to appeal this to the Court of Appeals, and depending on how they decided it, going up to the Supreme Court. So I think he did a very thorough job writing the opinion with that in mind, that this is likely to be looked at by one of the other courts along the chain. And I don't see how the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court is going to find fault with his reasoning.
The governor has said that he will appeal this, that he's going to take it to the Supreme Court. Any sense or any idea based on history how quickly that will get heard?
Well, this was pretty quick, in terms of the district court deciding it. So I think this is going to be, dispensed with quickly, given the implications for the ability of the legislature to carry out its constitutional duties. So I think this case is going to continue to proceed on a fast track manner. And I think we're going to have an ultimate resolution of this the agreement right now is they've got the legislature funded on a temporary this stipulation mm-hmm. through October 1st. I see no reason why this case won't be resolved before that deadline.
But pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It was a big blow for Governor Dayton. He sent out a tweet yesterday, even sort of doubling down on the rationale, which baffled me. It's almost as if he didn't read the judge's decision or didn't understand it, maybe, because he tweeted that he's going to appeal the ruling, and he's going to appeal it in the hopes that the legislature will agree to a special session. Like, the judge just told you that's why this was struck down as unconstitutional, Governor Dayton.
Yeah. And I think, I don't think for anybody other than the governor and his legal counsel, I don't think this decision was a surprise. I think everybody kind of anticipated that, no, you can't veto another branch's funding, because you disagree with something they did. And the judge does go, there was a question that came up, I think, at an earlier hearing, and he does mention it in his opinion about this issue of the courts. And I think there's a concern here. Again, I think that the Court of Appeals or the Supreme Court elects to take it, will affirm the district court opinion for the reason of what happens if a governor, whether it be this one or another one, disagrees with a court decision. Can the governor then line item veto out court funding?
Right. Yeah. No. These are co-equal constitutional branches of the government, and I'm really glad that the ruling came down the way it did, and I appreciate the rationale that the judge used, because that sends a very clear message, not just to Governor Dayton, but to future governors as well, that this is not an acceptable negotiating tactic.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. It's again, anybody that wants to see it, it's online. It's a very well written opinion, and I would encourage everybody to take a look at it.
Yeah, I'll tweet out a link to the opinion. I'll use the hashtag TCNT, so just search for that or search my timeline, Andrew Lee TCNT. I will tweet that out shortly. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeffrey O'Brien, appreciate your expertise. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, take care.